KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A TikTok streamer has a court appearance in L.A. a day after he and a U.S. marshal were wounded by a bullet that ricocheted from an ICE agent during an immigration raid. The streamer's lawyer, Carlos Jurado.
The police officers here know him. They know that he's very respectful. In fact, the city of Los Angeles has awarded him for the work that he does in the community.
The New York Times says the president wants the Justice Department to pay him $230 million for investigations during his first term in office. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Trump has long aired grievances about investigations into his conduct, and now he is apparently formalizing them in this form.
Vice President Vance meets with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem in a bid to shore up the peace plan for Gaza and a fragile ceasefire there.
What it could allow is an alliance structure in the Middle East that perseveres, that endures.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A new apartment project breaks ground in Merrill this week. WSAW reports a new housing project along the Wisconsin River will break ground tomorrow. The project, called The River, is a market-rate apartment complex that will feature three 22-unit apartment buildings located on South Keys Street along the Wisconsin River and the River Bend Trail system. The buildings will be constructed over the next 3 years with room for future expansion. The groundbreaking ceremony and a key presentation is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. The Wausau River District is seeking a new executive director. The position was left open after former executive director Callie Wolk was removed last month. Her removal followed a social media post appearing to celebrate the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. The executive director is responsible for coordinating projects, programs, and policies within a downtown revitalization program that focuses on historic preservation and downtown economic development. Applications to fill the position will be accepted until this Friday, and those interested must email a cover letter, current resume, and a list of three references to the president of the River District Board of Directors. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to celebrate Forest Products Week. According to a press release, the state's forestry industry generates an estimated $27 billion in goods each year and supports over 56,000 jobs, leading to a total economic impact value of over $41 billion. Forest Products Week is meant to recognize the workers who help sustain the crucial industry in the state. More information on the economic impact of Wisconsin's forestry industry is available on the DNR's website. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Bucks basketball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks begin their 58th season tonight in Milwaukee when they host the Wizards. Their new center, Miles Turner, says they've had a new level of energy preparing for tonight's game.
This past week of practice has been very intense. You know, I mean, I think it's been really good. Guys are talking up, making noise, just just talking back and forth and whatnot. And I think that's how it's supposed to be, especially throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? We're intense in practice. When it makes the games that much easier.
NFL, the Packers at practice for Sunday night in Pittsburgh. Matt LaFleur downplaying the matchup against the Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know if many of these guys played with him. So, I mean, there's a few guys, but yeah, I think that's just for you guys. I'm going to talk about, just like we do every week, what is our blueprint and what are our keys in order to go to Pittsburgh, which is a damn good football team and a really tough, hostile environment, and try to play our best.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy, and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show. Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Which you can find at upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our morning newsletter there as well. Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning, October 22nd, 2025. Earl Ingram standing by to talk about what he's doing for Civic Media and the What's Going On podcast. We'll talk to Melissa Baldoff with this week's Climate Check. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly will make a special Wednesday appearance after a virtual news conference yesterday with actress Halle Berry, talking in favor of a bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature on the subject of menopause. So we'll talk a little women's health coming up at 8:35. Now, Dr. Lyerly has run for office and come up short. I've won an election and then lost two elections after that. But at no point has it ever occurred to us that we might want to run again. And then a New York Times article would show up with basically most people anonymously saying, don't run again. And that's exactly what happened yesterday in the New York Times regarding Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor, whose name is still out there as a potential candidate for governor next year. Pretty much every other name that's been talked about, those folks have either gotten into the race or out of the race. But the New York Times has an article that is chock full of folks who are hinting that they don't want to see the former lieutenant governor going up against potentially Congressman Tom Tiffany because of how he fell short against Ron Johnson a couple of years back. And like I said, by and large, folks were kind of saying it without saying it. But there was one person who did say it, and that was former lieutenant governor Barbara Lawton, who served as lieutenant governor under Jim Doyle. And said of Mandela Barnes's 2022 race, quote, he proved to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can't run hard enough and give us a winning campaign on a statewide basis. That's from Barbara Lawton. And then others saying that if he gets in, do not expect what happened when he ran for U.S. Senate, where the other primary candidates got out and deferred to him, that there will be a primary all the way through the finish line if he were to get in. So, again, that's an article in the New York Times about a potential candidate for governor in Wisconsin next year. Let's bring in Earl Ingram now from the What's Going On podcast. With Earl Ingram, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. Earl was most recently the MC for the No Kings rally in Milwaukee last weekend. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, but that subject that you just talked about, mm-hmm. I got to chime in on that. Mandela Barnes is a longtime friend, a young man whose career I followed and had a connection with. He called me this past Wednesday before this article came out and said to me his intentions on getting into this race. He told me about an interviewer from the New York Times that was going to do this hatchet job on him, and he asked for that interviewer from the New York Times to give me a call. I was awaiting that call. Supposedly, I was supposed to have gotten that call because I was going to say something completely different than what Ms. Lawton and others have said in regards to this race. Let's be clear. Mandela Barnes, to call him a loser, he lost by one percentage point to a sitting United States senator. What are people talking about? To say that that's a failure is unbelievably wrong. And to mislead people with this article to say, you know, well, he's not the guy, he can't win a statewide race, those things are untrue. And when you look at the people who are running, Mandela Barnes, national recognition, that United States Senate race was nip and tuck till the end. If there hadn't been things that were said horribly in the black community by a black talk show host on a different radio station condemning Mandela Barnes, enough blacks would have came out, voted for him, we would be talking about a guy who's a United States senator. So I am outraged that Barbara Lawton and others who are making these assertions that he can't win, absolutely incorrect. He has statewide recognition. He's traveled this state. People are aware of who he is, more so than David Crowley or almost anybody else who's in the race.
I am so glad you brought up the fact that the reporter here, Reed Epstein, has been covering Wisconsin politics for publications before the New York Times and then the New York Times for, you know, more than 20 years now. So Reed Epstein's name is familiar in Wisconsin political circles. And I'm frankly shocked that Mandela Barnes, you know, referred Reed Epstein to talk to somebody like you, and you heard nothing. He did not reach out to you for a quote or reaction or anything like that. And I'll let Reed Epstein speak for himself, but that speaks volumes to me that he didn't reach out to you.
Well, so as a matter of fact, as late as Monday, I got a call from Mandela Barnes's chief of staff in this campaign asking if I had been contacted by this reporter. And she was surprised to find out that I had not been, because he said he was going to contact me and I would have spoke up on behalf of Mandela Barnes. He's got a better shot, his name recognition. He enters into the race and he'll be either leading the leader and all the people who are in the race. Just absolutely correct.
Yeah, let's be clear about something about 2022. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying Mandela Barnes ran a perfect campaign. He did not. But let's make clear, he did not lose that race so much as Ron Johnson didn't lose, only because the decaying carcass of his campaign was dragged across the finish line by billionaires who spent big after getting huge tax breaks from Ron Johnson, running the most wildly racist ads that we've seen in Wisconsin history. And that provided the closest U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin history. And so for people to just completely write off Mandela Barnes because of the way that he was attacked in the waning days of a campaign, to drag Ron Johnson over the finish line, who has never been above 50% approval in this state, is rather telling.
Outlandish, outrageous, and that's not going to deter Mandela Barnes from getting in the race, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Earl Ingram joining us, and you can follow his podcast at civicmedia.us for the What's Going On with Earl Ingram show, the podcast that's there. Let's get to the No Kings rally that you told us last week you were going to be emceeing. They were telling you that the turnout was going to be higher than back in June. Boy, did it turn out to be true. That was quite a turnout.
Well, you know, Pat, in truth, they also said that Antifa was going to be there.
Can I tell you, just to interrupt to say, people that they want to say, oh, Antifa this, Antifa that. I saw a great post yesterday saying, if Antifa were real,
I'd be getting text donation solicitations from them, because every other Democratic and progressive group is sending you countless text messages. Send us money. I'm not getting those from Antifa. So it ain't so much a real group, Earl.
Well, Hamas is going to be there. And as I say to the crowd, as I look around, you know, they said Antifa, Hamas, and criminals were going to be here. Well, guess what? I didn't see any billionaires. Okay. If you want to talk about criminals and those types of things, what was there was your average, everyday, rank and file American. I can tell you that I've been around long enough, and I remember the Republicans. What was the name of their group that was around and they were protesting about 20 years ago?
A Republican group?
They were organized, the Tea Party.
The Tea Party, of course, the Tea Party. Okay. Right.
And the Tea Party had the exact same makeup. Mm-hmm. People from my generation and older who have clearly had enough, who were organized and who were fighting. That's what was there.
It was just, again, this whole notion of this is going to be filled with terrorists and billionaires and, you know, 7-8 million Americans. You can't possibly pay off that many people to do this. It was extremely organic. And so, again, I'm glad you could play the role of MC for that particular one. I don't want to lose time for you to talk about the ongoing assault against the Voting Rights Act. It is looking very much like the conservative justices on the court are looking to kill what's left of the Voting Rights Act, which would only be just the latest assault on civil rights in this country, Earl.
So 1965, the Voting Rights Act was passed, and it was passed. It was a piece of federal legislation, you know, that the United States created to combat racial discrimination. And I can tell you that it is the third prong, Pat, of the destruction of rights that were put in place to combat the racism and discrimination that this nation had at its source. And so in my community, we are outraged that these kinds of conversations are going on, and not only going on, but not being talked about enough. And I keep hearing people say, well, we're better than that. That's not the kind of nation we are. I don't know about that.
No.
Because to watch what is transpiring and the rollback of the rights that people fought, bled, and died for, and to say that we are a nation of laws, to say that, you know, everybody's welcome in this nation. Well, listen, I'm born and raised in this nation, and many like me. And to look at what is transpiring and for there not to be enough noise being made about it, I've lost a lot of respect that I had for this nation. And I don't know if I'll ever in my lifetime ever get it back.
Well, it's completely understandable because of, like you said, it's a three-pronged attack. First, it was affirmative action, and then it was this, you know, DEI, assault that was going on. And having found success in both those areas, they're just going for, you know, for the brass ring right now, which is tearing down civil rights legislation that, you know, tried to undo generations of institutional racism in this country. And the code words and the winks that are going on about this debate are just nauseating, Earl.
Well, it's more than that for my community, because what we see is, you know, my generation is reaching the end of our life cycle. And so we saw the changes that my mother and father had to deal with. And so my generation benefited from those laws because we were able to live a middle-class lifestyle predicated on those laws that were passed. But our grandchildren and great-grandchildren face an uncertain future with these decisions that are being made. Can't hurt me and my generation because we're coming to an end. But for those future generations, this is unacceptable. And as I say to people in my community, can't be allowed without a fight, but we need American citizens to talk about and do what's right.
Earl Ingram, you can catch his What's Going On podcast over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows to learn more. Earl, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You as well.
All right. We'll have our climate check coming up and then Dr. Kristen Lierley in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2023, under pressure from election conspiracy activists, Texas and nine other red states left the multi-state cooperative called ERIC, which helped to keep state voter rolls clean. 2 years later, local election officials are asking Texas state election officials for immediate fixes to its reportedly erratic homegrown voter registration system called TEAM. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1070 in June 2023, authorizing state officials to create a state-run interstate voter registration cross-check system. Over 2 years later, and on the eve of the TEAM system's rollout, VoteBeat Texas reports that four organizations representing Texas election officials cited inconsistent system behavior, only intermittent and under-resourced support, and statewide training gaps. Just last month, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson announced agreements with nine states to share and compare voter registration data in an effort to replace the Electronic Registration Information Center's sophisticated data processing capability to identify voters who moved, died, or registered in more than one state. The Texas election officials said in their letter, "The current state of the TEAM rollout creates undue risk to voters and the integrity of election officials," and urged action before November 4th. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers trained to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is 41 degrees here at our studios in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Overcast skies, dreary start, but hey, Hump Day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. Mm-hmm. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. And Ian, one of the stories that we heard on the top of the hour newscast was Donald Trump is asking for a lot of money from the American taxpayer for himself. Donald Trump is going to want $230 million from the taxpayers. Because,
why?
Because he says that he had to spend that kind of money to defend himself on investigations in his first term.
Good grief.
I mean, it's just, he is demanding the Justice Department pay him about $230 million in compensation for the federal investigations into him. Those are Department of Justice probes into connections between Trump's 2016 campaign and Russian intelligence activities intended to help him win that election, Trump's alleged violations of the Espionage Act and other laws by evading Justice Department efforts to recover highly classified documents that Trump lifted from the White House when he left office in 2021, some of which he apparently stored in a Mar-a-Lago bathroom, and others as well. And the thing about it is, Trump is trying to claim, well, this was all fraudulent. Should not have been, it was all political. Should not have been investigated. Hey, Donald.
There's no evidence of that.
Donald, you were convicted on more than 30 felonies.
Mm-hmm.
The espionage case on the documents down at Mar-a-Lago, that case was not over when he got elected back a year ago. So that basically ended that investigation. It wasn't that he was cleared of any wrongdoing.
No.
It was just that it was stopped because he got reelected. So the idea of the American people, if he gets $230 million from the Department of Justice and the United States government, that would be coming out of money that we give as taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And the idea of giving Donald Trump money like that is disgusting.
It's
and
wrong.
Also, it's very ironic that Donald Trump would like to get $230 million from the American Treasury just months after passing the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, that a bill that's expected to cut more than $1 trillion from Medicaid and boot some 12 million Americans off their health insurance, even as it explodes the federal deficit, and also expand tax cuts to favor the rich. So based on that, he is already using his power to get the American government to give him massive amounts of money mm-hmm. through that tax cut. And now he wants another $230 million on top of that as well. It is disgusting. Disgusting. And I don't understand how his mega supporters can just nod their head. My suggestion is, mega supporters, just empty your bank account and send it all to Donald Trump. Because if that's the way you think, that this cut out the middleman, which is the American government, just give Donald Trump all your money. Because that's the way it's going right now. Donald Trump just enriches himself and his family over and over and over again instead of thinking about what's best for the American people. It's disgusting.
The cycle of insanity just doesn't stop. I mean, every day he finds more and more ways to, you know, hit a new low or go to a new extreme. He's not doing this for the people. He's doing this for himself. He's using the people to get what he wants. He doesn't care about any of us. And people need to realize that because when people say, oh, this man's a great president, he's my hero. I want to be just like him. If that's how you think, then there is something wrong with you.
He is a reverse Robin Hood right now.
Exactly.
Take from the poor to give to the rich, and that's just wrong on every level.
You're taking from those who work hard for their money to provide for their families and giving it to people who couldn't care less about the money that they get.
Between his crypto schemes, his coins, his all this corruption, it's just disgusting and it's wrong. And
it's sick.
And the whole idea is, and the thing about it is, the people that are supposedly would be making the decision on this request are people that worked for Donald Trump as lawyers in the past, which is, it's just pathetic on every level.
I hope they wake up and realize that they're being used.
I wouldn't count on
that. Not holding
it.
A very high bar there.
Nope, I would not count on that.
It's a small chance. It's a very small.
Coming up tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks open up their 2025-2026 season. They play host to the Washington Wizards at Pfizer Forum. Former Buck superstar Chris Middleton comes back to Pfizer Forum for the first time since he was traded last spring from the Bucks to Washington. Chris Middleton is the third highest scorer in Milwaukee Bucks history. Middleton scored 12,586 points as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. He is behind only Giannis and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored 14,211 points during his seasons with the Bucks before he went on to play for the LA Lakers. Kareem played 6 years in Milwaukee and then 14 more years in Los Angeles. And Giannis, of course, has been with 13 years with the Milwaukee Bucks. He is the all-time leading scorer for Milwaukee. And that brings us to our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh.
Okay.
Ian is 1-for-2 so far this week. So
still in a good place, but I can do better.
Still some work to do.
Yes.
But with the Bucks opening up their season tonight, the number for the day is, how many points has Giannis scored in his Milwaukee Bucks career?
Oh.
And I said it, Chris Middleton has scored 12,586 points as a member of the Bucks. Kareem, 14,211 as a member of the Bucks.
Okay.
So your choices are 18,538, 20,538, 22,538, How many points has Giannis scored? 18,538, 20,538, 22,538.
You know, I'm going to say 22,538. Final answer.
Giannis, in his career with the Milwaukee Bucks, has scored 20,538 points.
Ooh, the middle number.
So 1 for 3, which is where you should be. Have a good day, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, Shed. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm Isabella Nieto. There are thousands of dams in Wisconsin, and it's up to dam operators to keep them up and running properly. Last year, Wisconsin ranked second worst in the nation for dam failures. Gubernatorial candidate and Congressman Tom Tiffany has made his experience as a dam tender a central part of his campaigns. When asked by WXCO about dam safety last month, Tiffany said dams should be repaired when they need it.
For too long, both local and state government have taken a detour in taking care of the basics, making sure that our infrastructure is fixed. Dams are one of them that we should make sure that they are getting fixed.
Uriah Monday is the state dam safety engineer. He says dams can be owned by a variety of entities, including state, federal, and private owners.
Dams get inspected on a certain regular rotation, and the requirements for maintenance or repair that come out of those inspections.
According to a report released last year from the American Society of Civil Engineers, Wisconsin dams received a C-plus grade in operational health.
In general, I tend to characterize our dam infrastructure as aging, reasonably tended. Most dams need some kind of work on them, right? And that costs money.
The report says several hundred of the approximately 1,000 largest dams have greatly exceeded their design life of 50 to 75 years and need rehabilitation. The Association of State Dam Safety Officials estimates $1.75 billion as the total cost to rehabilitate Wisconsin's dams rated in less than satisfactory condition, and $380 million for those with high hazard potential. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Coleman Domingo has become one of the most respected and in-demand actors in Hollywood. Variety is reporting that the Oscar-nominated actor will join the cast of Wicked for Good. That's the sequel to the 2025 smash hit starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Domingo will provide the voice for the Cowardly Lion. Coleman was nominated for an Academy Award in the Best Actor category for his role in Sing Sing, a film about how prisoners in a high-security facility learn the art of acting. His other credits include Lincoln, The Color Purple, and he will appear in the upcoming big-budget films The Running Man and in the film Michael about Michael Jackson, where he will play Jackson's father, Joe Jackson. Wicked for Good comes out November 21st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please. Something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You know, along with signing up for the daily newsletter from Up North News, because goodness knows I tell you about that enough times, there's also a newsletter from Civic Media that you should be making a regular part of your inbox, Civic Media Today, with all kinds of links to show highlights and to tell you about guests past and future. Sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. And remember, you can always reach Mornings with Pat Kreitler, powered by Up North News, by phone or by text or through the Civic Media app, 855-75-CIVIC, or send us a voice note through the app as well. All right, today we're going to spend a little time talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about doctorly things. As an OBGYN, we get into a lot of reproductive health rights and politics and things like that. We haven't really talked women's health for some time, but Halle Berry is making sure that we do that because the actor and menopause advocate spoke with some Wisconsin legislators yesterday about a bill that would increase the ability for women to receive fact-based information about menopause, something that Dr. Lyerly deals with her patient base on a regular basis. How's Kristen this morning?
Let's be honest. I begged you to put me on the show this morning because I want to talk about menopause because it's something we do not talk about. And it affects everybody. Once you hit midlife, if you are lucky enough to get that far, you will go through menopause. And it is not just hot flashes and your period stops. It's all this weird stuff. And that's the beauty of Halle Berry, because as she tells her story, it's, this was happening to me and I couldn't get answers. And I went to my doctor who I trusted and I knew and I know is smart, and I didn't get the right answer. And it's because our entire system is set up not to teach people about what menopause is, how you might experience it, and what the implications are for the rest of your life.
And I'm going to tell this story real quick, and then we're going to play some of the Halle Berry audio from yesterday. But I have said, and this helps being married to an OBGYN, that I will never hesitate to do a segment on menopause, because when I worked at the TV station, we tried to get a female doctor to talk about menopause and couldn't find one. You know, my own spouse was camera shy. And we finally got a guy to talk about it, and all he could focus on was bedroom stuff. And every question, he kept bringing it back to bedroom stuff and not anything else that's happening with women. And I mean, it went so off the rails that we've always, you know, had it in us go, okay, we need to do right by this topic. And so that leads us up to Halle Berry talking about, she gave a lot of detail, more detail than we're going to play on the radio.
A lot of detail.
About
was frank.
Three different health concerns that she had. And in the first couple, she wasn't getting great information, in part because even though it turned out they were linked to menopause, these doctors didn't know about it. Then after the third doctor, she finally got some more clarity about menopause. By her own admission, she never really considered menopause, never thought about it, never learned about it, and is now a staunch advocate to make sure doctors are fully up to speed as well as patients. And so here's a little over 2 minutes of what Halle Berry had to say about the importance of menopause education and resources.
He looked at me and he said, kind of know what it is, but I can't really say it. I said, what do you mean you can't really say it? He said, I can't really say it to you, but I'm going to give you some eye drops that I want you to start using. And I said, wait, but what is wrong with my eyes, doc? And he said, okay, I'm going to say it, but you're going to kill me. But I think it's because of menopause. And I said, exactly. You, ding, 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 you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's menopause. But the thing was, he didn't want to say it to me. And I said, Doc, why couldn't you just say that to me? You're my healthcare provider. You're my doctor. And he said, because my patients don't want to hear they're in menopause. It scares them. They think they're getting old. Like, they will punch me. They'll leave me. I'm worried about that. I don't want to lose my patients. But women don't want to be told they're in menopause. Well, why is that? Why are we so afraid of menopause? Because we have zero education around it. It's stigmatized. We're afraid because we're ignorant to what is happening to our bodies. That's why education is so important. And that's why I'm here. I have real life examples of how more education would have saved me almost 4 years of self-exploration and self-diagnoses. I would love to have gotten this information from my healthcare providers. I would love for my daughter, who's now 17, to sail in to her midlife. Just like already she's excited about becoming a mom and going through pregnancy, she has all the information she needs to know about that. I want her to feel as excited about her midlife years as she does becoming a new mom. Why? Because I know these years over 40 are some of the best years of a woman's life. And we deserve to live in good health, to have good information so that we can make good, solid decisions for our own health. And that is why I'm here. And a few statistics I just want to add, that 1.3 million women transition into menopause each year. By the year 2030, 1.2 billion women around the world will be in menopause. And here's a big one. I know it's far away for me. It might be far away for you too. But in 2060, 90 million women around the world will be navigating menopause. And I think they need education, and doctors need to be retooled to take care of them in the best way possible.
All right, so there's a little bit of Halle Berry talking yesterday about this bipartisan bill in the Wisconsin legislature that would basically have the Department of Health Services engage in partnerships with healthcare providers, physicians, and others to basically create more resources, more fact-based information that the providers can share, that the state and county health departments can share. All in all, to say, Kristen, that more fact-based educational materials can never be a bad thing.
This is why it's a problem, because when I was in training back in the early 2000s, it was soon after a huge study came out that made us all afraid to use hormone therapy, to prescribe hormone therapy. It was called the Women's Health Initiative Study. It was a great study, but the way that it was put together, the way that the results were interpreted, really created a panic. And we are still living with the results of that panic. As a result of that, doctors haven't been trained on how to take care of people going through menopause. So I got 30 minutes of menopause in my medical school training. I got a full hour of manopause, but 30 minutes of menopause. So we don't know how. We haven't been trained to do this. So if you are somebody who is seeking care and you are not getting a satisfying answer from your doctor, it's because our training system has been flawed. This is not just a Band-Aid. This helps to fix it on the end where patients are seeking the care that they need. It helps to train doctors who are already out in practice and give them that additional information. It is so incredibly important, not just for your sex life or to treat your hot flashes, but to treat your cardiovascular health. After you go through menopause, your risk of having a heart condition, of dying from a heart attack, actually goes up significantly. But we can mediate that risk if we do it well. And that is what this bill is intended to do.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that part, because my follow-up question was going to be, again, to take the extreme view of, why would we bother? It's something we all go through. Why don't you just, rub some dirt on it and everything will be fine. But there is research that can be done. There can be more to recognize symptoms, but also to treat symptoms. This is not just something, it's just a phase that you go through. It is a medical condition.
So many people have just suffered unnecessarily. And that's an option. Like, you can just stick it out if you want to, but there are options for you, and it's not just hormones, but the long-term real thing to think about is, what are your risks as you are marching forward in life? How are you aging? You need to look at your family history. You need to look at your own personal history. What's going on with your cholesterol, your blood pressure? All of that stuff factors into your risk profile. And without understanding what your personal risk profile is, you can't take the best possible care of yourself. And menopause is a huge contributor to heart disease in women after we go through menopause. We don't talk about that either, but now we're going to start having that conversation.
Now, this is just not the state bill that Halle Berry was speaking up in favor of. Last year, she did an appearance with Senator Tammy Baldwin about a congressional bill. That one would have called for more federal funding for research, you know, for treatments, for a host of other things that in the areas of resources and research. So, I mean, there is ample work that can be done at the federal level as well as the state level to help, like they said, the, you know, the millions of women who will be going through this transition.
Very true. And we know that we are kind of at a research standstill right now in this country. So it's really hard to get research dollars to do any sort of meaningful research. But historically, so much of the research that we've done has been on men, not on women. Yeah. So many of the results that we have on fundamental things like heartburn and heart disease and the medications that we use are only really applicable to men. And so we need more data, more information on women, not just about menopause, but about everything.
Yeah, she talked about that leading up to that soundbite that we played, that of the three health problems that she outlined, one of them, you know, a doc thought it was maybe some kind of an autoimmune disorder, but they couldn't really tell because almost all of the studies on this autoimmune disorder had been done on men. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard to say. Now, a couple of the folks who also spoke, legislators, including Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein and State Representative Robin Vining, you know, they also shared that they have had some, you know, personal experiences dealing with menopause and with, you know, education and resources to basically make the point, as Senator Hesselbein said, you know, Dr. Google can only take you so far. When, you know, you go to your doctor, your provider, you want to know that they're the ones that are going to have all the latest information at their fingertips.
And there's a lot of information out there that maybe isn't so great, because what happened after the Women's Health Initiative, when we stopped talking about it as doctors and as patients seeking care, it opened up this whole alternative universe. And there is value there, but a lot of that information is not validated. A lot of the supplements are not well studied. And frankly, supplements are not FDA regulated. So you don't really know what's in the supplements that you're taking. So if you are seeking care for your menopausal symptoms in one of those alternative spaces, it's really important to know who your providers are, what kind of care that is, and what kind of evidence and data backs that up. If you are not getting comprehensive care, that preventive care that I talked about earlier to ward off heart disease and cancer and other things, you absolutely need to be plugged in with your regular doctor who can provide that kind of care and screening.
Where does it stand in terms of, you know, specialists? In other words, if say you're seeing a general practitioner, an internist, family practice, and you have concerns and you want to go see either an OBGYN or some other specialty, is it still a matter that a lot of plans require a direct referral? You can't just ring up somebody and say, I have questions?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know. My plan doesn't. I can go see whoever I want. I don't have to. It's not like an HMO. And I really want people to seek out those alternatives. Don't feel like you're locked in. If somebody says, no, I don't have the answer, don't feel like that's the end of your road. Keep advocating for yourself, and your doctor should be advocating for you as well.
Yeah. So again, that's Halle Berry talking about a state bill, but also federal bills that are out there to work on education and resources and, you know, because more research, more resources, more education, better informed doctors and patients, those are never bad things. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us, and we will wrap things up with some final news and notes on a Wednesday morning here on These Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in just a bit.
Engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free?
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can catch the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show every Saturday at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can also subscribe and follow at Spotify and other podcast platforms. And YouTube. Yeah, you know, other platforms. Look, Pat didn't forget the promo this time. And then, of course, in between the shows, you're making all kinds of videos about things. We'll get into that as well. But what are you talking about on this weekend's edition of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show?
Well, we were going to talk to Fran Hong, but we're going to put that off until next week, because with all of this menopause enthusiasm, we decided to highlight menopause. There's a new clinic opening up in Wausau. It's actually open now, and it's called Pause Medicine. They focus on menopause. They focus on sexual health and well-being. It's run by a board-certified OBGYN doc who actually is a breast cancer survivor. Here we are in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we talk about all of those things, what this means for women's health, some of the complexities of the actual treatment. And it's a great conversation, especially if you enjoyed our previous segment about menopause.
Coming up this Saturday, replayed on Sunday, but again, get it as a podcast. Look for it on YouTube as well. And again, you're doing videos in between on various subjects as they come up. And I saw that you did one recently on what President Trump promised last year on the campaign trail about IVF versus what have we seen so far in the 9 months of his administration.
Remember, he said he was the father of IVF.
The father of IVF. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, he was going to make it affordable and accessible for everybody. So the plan finally came out, and it is disappointing to say the least. Essentially, there will be, according to the executive order, a discount on some of the medications, which is helpful for some people. But otherwise, it's just a suggestion to insurance companies that they should provide this treatment. There are no mandates. There is no true follow through. It really doesn't make it more accessible or less expensive for most families.
This is the concepts of a plan approach. When he was asked, what's your healthcare plan? Don't you have a plan? I have concepts of a plan. This is at best concepts of a plan about IVF.
He's trying to walk a really, really thin line, because the anti-abortion people who supported him and helped him get elected are not for IVF. When you do IVF, you create multiple embryos, and that creates an ethical dilemma for them, for him. So out of one side of his mouth, he's saying one thing. Out of the other side, he's saying another thing. We've all gotten used to that. But the bottom line is, if you are seeking fertility treatment and you need IVF and you were expecting Trump to come through for you, he has not.
No, you feel like a soybean farmer or a beef rancher right now in the United States. Yeah, you're in good company. All kinds of folks that are in there. Now, there are candidates who are running for office that, again, still have challenging views on women's health care rights. And I am going to be talking to Lucy Ripp from A Better Wisconsin Together about this, about candidates and their stances on women's health. And we cover everything from Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's running for governor, to appeals court judge Maria Lazar, who's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, to Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County District Attorney, who is now going to be running again for Attorney General against Josh Call. And, Lucy points out in those three and in others, voters are going to either have a clear choice when it comes to women's health care rights, or they're going to have to cut through some fog. We've talked about Tom Tiffany trying to have things both ways when it comes to this topic.
Well, that is what we're seeing with the GOP right now. They know that when it comes to abortion rights, that Americans want access to abortion. We've seen it over and over again in some of the reddest states in this country. When abortion is on the ballot, abortion wins, because abortion is health care. So now what they're trying to do is sneak it in the back door, in all these little tricky ways, by having the FDA take another look at medication abortion access, by this whole IVF thing, by not fully embracing it. They are trying to find all these ways to prevent people from getting full, comprehensive reproductive health care. I'm committed to providing it. My colleagues are committed to providing it, not just in the office, but making sure that our patients can get it universally. So it's going to come down to abortion again, and we are not standing down.
No, I mean, women have made that clear, and their allies have made this clear in vote after vote after vote. And that's why the only reason they can sneak things through, like this current backdoor ban, from the big bloated bill with boondoggle, or with Planned Parenthood, holding off on abortion care in Wisconsin, is, again, through the back door. When things are put up and you let the people choose and they vote their values, they vote for women.
They vote for women. They vote for healthcare. People want to make their own healthcare decisions. Whether we're talking about preventive care, reproductive care, it doesn't matter. When you go to the doctor, you want to be able to tell your story, hear about all of your options, and make the decision that is best for you, not the decision that a politician says you can have.
Now, we'll close with the very convenient scheduling of Dr. Lyerly going to Pittsburgh for conferences, just as the Packers are going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. And of course, Kristen, living in Green Bay, probably was coffee buddies with Aaron Rodgers and just couldn't tell us. You got to keep these things hush. Any chance you're recording an interview with him for an upcoming show or anything like that?
He's my birthday buddy, actually. We have
that's
the same
right.
Birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we split ways, though, over COVID. I was a little frustrated with him when he was deceitful. Leaders don't do that. You don't put your colleagues in danger. So, yeah, I lost a lot of respect for him there.
Well, it'll make it easier to root against him. Have you found a way to actually go to the game?
Oh, yeah, I got my tickets yesterday.
Oh, of course you do. Of course.
The question is, Pat, how am I going to pack my cheese head and my carry-on? It takes up a lot of room.
Yes. Well, that could be your personal item. You just wear it on board the plane, and you hope the person in the seat behind you is all right with that and can still see the video on how to buckle a seatbelt. I always love that. Here's how to buckle a seatbelt. Thanks, guys. Could I have more than a bag of pretzels, please? Anyway, safe travels out there. We will talk to you Friday and again Monday. Monday from Pittsburgh, maybe. Sounds like fun.
From Pittsburgh.
All right. That's great. Right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Matt and Air on Air is coming up next. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. We'll see you bright and early back here up north, 6 a.m. Have a great day.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new survey by the nonprofit Kaiser Family Foundation finds health insurance costs are rising faster than inflation. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Richmond, Virginia school teacher Sequoia Ross just learned her family deductible will go up another $500 next year.
Right now, everything is expensive. I don't need my insurance to also be a thorn in my side.
Expiring health care subsidies are a dividing issue between Democrats and Republicans as the government shutdown enters a 22nd day. And more furloughed federal workers, including Maryland pastor Oliver Carter's wife, line up at food pantries.
We got a check last week, a half a check, and this week is no check coming, so we should be in line too.
Vice President Vance has met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today on the fragile ceasefire in Gaza.
We have a very, very tough task ahead of us, which is to disarm Hamas, but rebuild Gaza to make life better for the people in Gaza, but also to ensure that Hamas is no longer a threat to our friends in Israel.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.